yeah, folks, you know you're in for a treat when you hear that tune, because it's time for another week of the Rec Poker Podcast. Thanks for joining me here on the show. I've got the best freaking job in the world, because every Monday night I get to hang out with my poker friends and talk about poker. Who am I and what's Rec Poker? I'm so glad you asked. Well, my name's Jim Reed. I'm Bluffsterini in the home game and at Rec Poker Jim on Twitter and Threads. But I am just one of the members here on the Wrecking Crew. The Rec Poker Wrecking Crew is the group of folks that make all the magic happen here. We're on the podcast. We make videos. We host study groups. We do it all. We travel. We're all over the place having a great time, loving poker and spreading that love with the rest of the poker community. If you want to find out more about me or the rest of the Wrecking Crew, you can go to rec.poker/crew. But you can also just listen up, because you're going to meet a few of them right here tonight on the show.
Hey, my name is Ben Enslow. I'm BJamin96 on Twitch, and all my socials are over there. You can check me out there. And I'm East Coast Bitter in the home game.
My name is Joe Coolis. I'm at Joe Cool PhD, cool with a K, and Elvita 11 in the home game.
And I'm Taylor Moss. You can find me on Twitter at Taylor_Moss, or in the Rec Poker home game as GopherBoyTJM.
Thanks, everyone, for being here. Like I said, Rec Poker is this fantastic community of amateur recreational poker players who love the game. Most of what we do here is free. It's a largely volunteer-based organization, so I have to thank our sponsors, the Running Aces Hotel, Racetrack, and Casino. They feature prominently in this episode because we're fresh back from a trip. We had Rec Poker Weekend at Running Aces. We shattered an attendance record in their Friday tournament. We had a fantastic members-only tournament on Saturday. They got 56 runners. We just had a great time, played some cash games, met a ton of folks that I hadn't had a chance to meet in person. And one of the perks was we got to play with some new friends and some folks that didn't know about Rec Poker, some folks that did and loved the show. We got a couple questions suggested from folks at the Running Aces series. And so we're going to get to those this week and next week. So next week, we're going to be talking about Chris, who mentioned the problem of sort of not in the moment knowing what factors to think about in the middle of a hand and sort of making mistakes or errors that he felt like were a mindset issue. He was a thoughtful, serious player, knew what he was doing, but just kept making these kind of what he would call like airheaded mistakes, and how to master that. So we'll be talking about that next week. This week, we're going to be talking about, I think his name was Lawrence. Lawrence, I hope your name's Lawrence. If it's not, email him, jim@rec.poker, and tell me that I screwed it up. But Lawrence was a recreational player like the rest of us. And his question was, like, Jim, there's a stigma about poker in my community. And the people that I love, my friends, my family, my wife, they don't support the idea of playing poker. I love poker. I think I'm a responsible poker player. But these people in my life think about it like it's gambling or like there's something wrong with it. And how do you talk to people in your life to make them more supportive of your love of poker? And I thought, wow, like that's just a great question. I think a lot of people, I know for me, like when people join Rec Poker, one thing I hear a lot is I've got great friends. I love my friends, but like my friends don't love poker and I can't talk poker with my friends. I can't talk poker with my family or with my partner. And so that's what Rec Poker is for a lot of people. It's just a way to find other people that you know you'll like and who like to talk poker.
Yeah, you're pretty much describing how I found Rec Poker, Tim, right in that.
Yeah.
Like, that's exactly how I found it, because I was basically, I felt so isolated. And then I found like podcasts and then ended up finding Rec Poker, and then everything else just fell into place. So
Yeah, that's right.
And we're glad that you're important. Here, man.
Thanks, yeah. Ben was at my first home game table. The first home game I ever played here at Rec Poker, Ben was at my table along with Chad McVean. Who knew? Amazing. What would come out of that? But so, Lawrence, if your name's Lawrence, it's a great question. And I think it's something that a lot of us can benefit from. A lot of our listeners can benefit from. So I think I'll open this up to the group. I've been thinking about it a little bit because we've had some time since the trip before we're recording this, and this you won't even hear this interview or this episode until September. So sorry about that, Lawrence and Chris. But I think everyone has their own ways of approaching this. To me, I think it matters where you are in your poker journey. I think if you know that you are a losing player, you're playing for fun, you're a recreational amateur, and if you lose your poker budget in a month, that's not the end of the world. It's just like if you had a budget for going bowling or watching movies or something else, like that's your entertainment budget, and however you spend it is up to you. That's one conversation I think you can have with your partner or with your friends or with your family who are not being supportive about your love of poker. But I think if you are actually a winning player, and you might have to ask yourself, you know, how do I know I'm a winning player? And am I really a winning player? Because we're terrible. Humans are terrible at knowing whether they're winners or losers at things. And if you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh, I'm a winning player, you're probably not a winning player. We'll talk a little bit about ways that you can be objective and measure that kind of thing. But that, I think that is a kind of a different conversation that you could have with a partner, with a loved one. But it is important that you are realistic about what are your expectations, what are your goals for playing. And I think I just want to reinforce that, you know, playing poker is so fun. Like, there is nothing wrong with having a budget to play poker and being a losing player and getting hours of entertainment out of this game that you love every month. And we talk about it a lot. I'll shut up in a minute here, but like, if you're a movie fan, go spend money on movies. If you like golf, go spend money on golf. If you like poker, have a budget, not a bankroll, and don't feel bad about losing some money and having a great time. Plus, you never know. You might actually get lucky. No one ever made $10,000 by going to the movies because of, you know, a fifth heart came on the river. But that's that. So we can get into that kind of conversation a little bit first. But first, I just wanted to open up to the group here, now that I've dominated the conversation for the first 10 minutes, just to give a sense of, like, do you have that kind of experience in your own history as a poker player? And how would you counsel someone else to have that conversation? Yeah, jump in.
Well, I can just go forward. I mean, I not to disagree with you, Jim, but I'm going to disagree with you, Jim. A little bit, and not in terms of the context of it's important to understand that you're going to track your money and having a good idea for yourself with regards to what you're losing, whether you're a winning player or not. But the truth of the matter is, there's probably only one relationship whereby this becomes very important. And that's if you have a significant other, a partner, or if your parents are supporting you, for instance, for a period of time or something, where they're looking at it as like, where is this money going? Because the truth of the matter is that nobody goes to the movies and loses $10,000. Just doesn't happen, right? I mean, you can't do that. You can't end up getting, you know, into trouble with creditors if you go to the movies too. I guess you could technically, but it's really going to be hard. And eventually there's just only so many hours in a day. So when you're thinking about these conversations, particularly with the people that you most care about, you're not going to convince everybody. Just forget about that. You're not going to convince your friends who don't like playing poker to play poker. It'd be great, but it's just not going to happen. You either like the game and can tolerate the loss of money, or you can't. And if you can't, all of the cajoling about if you get better in study is not going to make a difference. So I would always just focus on in terms of, well, who's that most important person? Who is the person that potentially shares with me the risk that's associated with my playing poker? Because even if you're playing low stakes, they are not going to understand that. They're going to say, you're betting money. I don't know how much it is. And I know that gamblers many times when they start to lose money, clam up. Right? They don't want to report their losses. They don't want to look at the ups and downs. Now, if you're listening to this, you're probably somebody who started to study poker and is understanding the concept of variance. So what you want to do, rather than trying to convince your significant other, partner, who financial, you know, advisor, whatever that person is, that you can, what variance is and how it's going to impact, it's getting them to trust the fact that you have gone into this endeavor with the idea in mind and that you're not going to allow yourself to lose the entire house based upon trying to chase losses that you have. And opening it up and opening everything up, saying, if you want to see what I'm winning, if you want to see what my daily wins and losses are, that's going to give them the trust that what you are doing will not leave them destitute at some point. It's tough because then you have to be admitting to them the days when you win, but also the days when you lose, or have them understanding not necessarily those daily things that bothers you, but that within the range of expenditures, you're not risking the house. And only you can be honest with yourself if you're not. If you're taking money that you really should be spending something else, well, then you need to be honest with yourself about that, because then actually, quite frankly, you're not trustworthy because you're not even honest with yourself about this particular idea. But if you are being honest with yourself, then what you need to do is first convince your partner, which will take time, because it's saying, I'm not going to do this. Well, they're going to say, okay. And then they're going to have to look for a period of time whereby the losses don't seem to impact anything in the household. And if you can do that over time, what will happen is your partner will suddenly stop caring about the money that you're spending going in. You'll go to the casino. They'll be like, have a good time, because they know you're going to come out of it honestly saying, this is where the money is going. This is how much money I'm spending. And you don't have to worry. So I guess I didn't technically disagree with you entirely, Jim, but I think that the specific focus in terms of where that conversation has to happen is much more so around trust than it is about whether or not poker is gambling, whether or not the amount of money that you're spending is worth it. All of those things are irrelevant, right? That's all decisions that you have to make. But the relationships that you have that you want to keep are all going to be based upon trust. And if you can get them to trust you in this particular instance with essentially their livelihood, right? Then you won't have a problem going forward. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it really does. I think that's a really good point. And it comes to sort of, we talk on the show about managing expectations from time to time, usually about managing your own expectations. But I think specifically when it comes to a spouse, a significant other, a life partner with whom you are joined financially, having their expectations be realistic, obviously is very important. And the only way to do that is to be honest. Taylor, you were unmuted first.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, I thought that was really great, Joe. I was thinking about this, and to me, it was all about, yourself being honest with yourself, but the way you described it with trust, being honestly trust yourself and go through all those things makes a ton of sense to me. Because so many people kind of view this as like, oh, hey, why can't my significant other be okay with this just the same way that they are with me going golfing? And they may not just have that like sense with themselves. And if you're just trying to like ingrain that in them, that like, oh, it's okay, you can just do this. Like, to me, that sounds like you're trying to like force trust upon them, or you don't really trust yourself in some of those situations. Like, I remember having a ton of conversations with my wife around this, and like her poker knowledge is like a 1 out of 20. And like, she doesn't get it, but some things she does get. She's talked to me about some of those things, and like, she wants to understand like how I'm viewing things. And I talk through it, and I'm like, hey, here's how I'm doing stuff. I'm like, I'm setting aside a budget. Here's how I'm going about that. Here's what it looks like and how I'm approaching different situations and how I'm tracking things. And I've been studying things. And it's like, I trust this myself. And like, here's the reasons why, like, to me, this makes sense. So because of that, like, it's gotten to the point, like Joe talked about, where it's like, she knows that I know what I'm talking about and how I'm approaching these different types of things. And when she asks how stuff's going, like, I'm honest with her, like, it's been a bad couple months, or it's been really good, or like, hey, here's, the good news, and like, how's it going, and different stuff like that. And I'll be honest with her about all those things. And it's like, we have that trust as we go through these different pieces. So I think that's a huge part in my mind. The other piece I think that kind of sticks out to me is like, there's some people that just struggle with gambling. And like, that's a huge concern here. And I think a lot of the people listening to this are thinking about poker a little bit differently than just another source of gambling. But that was a big concern, like with my, not just my significant other, but my family, and viewing poker as gambling. And oh no, Taylor's getting into gambling and he's really like going through all these different types of things. And my like response to that is, I'm playing against people, not the house. And honestly, when was the last time I played blackjack or three card poker or all the other like other games that are out there? Like, I just haven't. I don't do that. They're right there in the casino, wherever you're going, and you can do those types of things. To me, it's not gambling. To me, it's a game that I'm playing against someone. And that's the appeal to me. Granted, someone else may view that differently. And if you are having, you know, gambling troubles, like, talk to someone, get that all figured out. But like, that's the concern with all these different types of things. So be honest with yourself about the gambling aspect of this too.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, do you have a response there? Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, just real quickly. I mean, I do. And it's really important to be honest with yourself. It's, you're just not going to convince people that poker isn't gambling, regardless of whether you're playing against the house or whether you're against or playing against anybody else. So I don't try that anymore. I mean, you guys all know I can talk and talk and talk and talk, but it just doesn't really go anywhere in terms of trying to make that conviction for anybody who hasn't been involved in this. So, you know, to Taylor's point is that it's more important for you to be honest with yourself about whether this is gambling or not, because the proof will be in the pudding is if you're not losing millions of dollars, eventually even your family members will be like, he's this degenerate gambler, but he seems to be good enough at it that he hasn't lost all this money. So go ahead, Ben. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, no worries. Yeah. I love listening to you guys. Cause I mean, I'm a little younger, so some of this stuff is like, I'm still experiencing it, or I'm still like living in that moment of trying to figure some of this stuff out. And me and my common-law, we've been together for almost 10 years now, and we've gone through a lot of this where, you know, I started out and I would hold stuff back, and now I've come to the point where it's all transparent. If I had a bad day, she knows, you know, exactly how much I lost or how much I won or whatever. And then that money gets pooled together because I have enough that I can lose if I do lose, that when I do win, I can be like, okay, well, this money can go towards other things that are for us together as a couple. So that makes her more involved into, you know, being able to be more involved in, you know, the decisions that I'm making. Also, she's a little level up from Taylor's wife, who's Brianna's actually quite a, you know, pretty good poker player. I always said she would be a good poker player because I've seen her make folds that are just like, I would never fold that hand. How did you fold that? Nice. But she, you know, and I think the thing that Taylor hit on the most that really spoke to me, and even with Brianna, my common-law, and with my mom too, is that we've played it so long as a game, as something that we get together, we, you know, we roll out the poker mat that I have here on my desk. And if you're listening through the audio, you can't see it, but, you know, we roll out the poker mat, we have a family night out of it. You know, there's no money being won or lost, but we're all taking it seriously. We're all getting jabs in and trying to take each other's chips. So it's still like a real poker game, and we're playing for the game. We're not playing for money or anything like that. And I think that, to me, really awakens people to see it not as gambling, but as like an actual game that you can learn. And there's certain strategies and things that you can do to, you know, as opposed to playing against the house, like Taylor was saying, with blackjack and roulette and things like that, right? Where, you know, that truly is gambling, where you can put your money in and not, you know, you're not guaranteed to get that back. Whereas in poker, if you have a bunch of people that you know you're better than, there's a good chance, you know, better chance of you making money there than trying to lose it, you know, on blackjack or something else. And then that's also like trying to convince your friends. That's the hard thing with me, is trying to convince my friends. But I won't ramble on too long. I'll let somebody else jump in. But that's because my mom's good with it. My mom taught me how to play poker. Brianna's good with it. She knows, like I say, we're completely transparent with each other. But it's my friends that I have a hard time with convincing. They still think it's gambling and they don't see it as a game. So that's what I have a hard time with.
So do you have a favorite sports team?
Oh, yes. Toronto Maple Leafs. Yeah.
Are all of your friends that, you know, fans of that particular sport or that sport team?
Definitely not. Yeah.
Can you still be friends with them even if they're not?
You know, that's a good point. Yeah.
You know, there's no reason that everybody has to enjoy it. And you know, I have my non-poker playing friends. And then I have my poker playing friends. Mm-hmm. And I think that you know, ne'er the two shall meet and to some degree. It's just, you know, it's just not, I'm not going to be able to bring that together. And it's, you don't have to, right? I mean, that's why we like having a lot of different friends, because then we have a lot of variety. So I think that it, again, it's just too, it's, you got too much to do. You know, you're a young guy. I know you can put the world on your shoulders and kind of carry and convince the world of the, but you know, you just can't any more than you're going to convince everybody to root for the Maple Leafs. Because those are, they're always going to be, well, nobody wants to root really for the Maple Leafs.
I knew it was coming.
But but you can't, that's too high an expectation. So, you know, if the friends are kind of heater up and say, hey, tell me about this poker I've kind of wanted, and then you bring them in the fold, and maybe they say, you know what, I can't afford it, and then
so I have so I have one if we have time I have one
no no let's explore it Ben for sure
so yeah, I have one it. I have one specific friend, and I'm gonna send him this podcast, and I'm gonna try and get him to listen to it, because this is such a perfect conversation, and we've had this conversation outside Halifax Casino a couple of times now, as opposed to he looks at it as, I'm going to go in and I'm going to lose 200 at poker, or I'm going to lose 200 at blackjack, because that's his budget. He wants to go in, he wants to play with $200. That's what he has to spend. So, okay. But my thing is, I don't look at it that way. I see it as, I can go in with 200 and potentially come up with a lot more if I'm paying attention to what I'm doing, if I'm studying the players, if I know who I'm playing against, that sort of thing. But he's still interested enough into poker that he wants to like learn, like he kind of likes the idea of it too, right? So it's like, it gets really dicey with me, like trying to explain to him, no, you don't want to play blackjack. Like if you really want to learn poker, you got to get in there. And it's just, it's really, like I say, it's really gets confusing sometimes with this one specific friend.
Why are you trying to shoulder his decision-making process about what he finds fun?
Because there was nobody there for me when I was doing it by myself, because I had to go in and I had to have the bravery to say, I'm going in by myself into a situation that I've never experienced, or like, you know, I wanted a friend to be there with me, but I didn't have that. So for me to be there with him is really special, because that's something that I didn't have.
But again, and that's great. And I think that's totally valuable and commendable. However, if he says he doesn't want it, why are you trying to enforce it on him that he has to not play blackjack?
Right.
I think blackjack and slots are terrible things, and you're just going to lose money, right? But any more than, again, Toronto Maple Leafs, you know, I'm not going to convince my friends and family who play those games, because that's what they've decided they enjoy, and they may like the gamble, right? And you can't guarantee that he's going to go into that casino and not lose money.
Right.
Because he's not putting in the time that you are. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you push it, he will run away because you will take the fun from him and enforce your mindset about how this game has to be played. In the same way, in my study group, they're going to make fun of me for bringing this up, but I think it's rather apt, is that I'm kind of known as the turtle, because I'm looking for smaller variance gains versus larger variance gains. And I know Jim is figuring out exactly who I'm talking about in terms of those gains. And he doesn't try to enforce on me the way to play, and I don't enforce on, you know, him the way to play. We can have discussions about it, but it's also about stakes and how much money you're going to put in and how you're going to do it. None of those things, if they tried to enforce that on me, I'd just push them back and I'd say, just go pound sand. You know, if I really felt like they were trying to get me to do that. And I think that to some degree, you can be there for your friend, right? But let him play the means that he wants to. And when he comes to you and says, I want to get better at this poker thing because I see you winning money, or I think I can do better than this, or I can see bad play, that's when you can say, okay, well, you know, sign him up for Rick Poker, or, you know, or just help him out in the way that you're talking about. But if you're going to him and saying, I need to be there for you because nobody was there for me, that's a value to you, but it may not be what he's looking for. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I really like that. And I think maybe that's part of like on me a little bit for trying to force it a little too much. You know what I mean? Because I'm so desperate to have another poker friend here, like close to me, right? Sure. Like I'm so desperate. I'm like, please, James, like, please, like poker.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm like begging for him to have a good session. I'm like, please let him, like, please let him win like 200. He'd make up for the last time and like, we'll have a great, we can go again. And then he just said, oh, I got all in with aces and lost. He had a straight. And I'm like, no, like, you shouldn't have sat in the exact same seat you sat in the first time. We
Maybe that was part of the problem.
Yeah. So
that's funny.
So I mean, I guess that is. Me and Joe could just have like a 3-hour session right now, breaking down some of the stuff with, you know, my mental game and stuff. I've always joked about that. So, but I do really like that point that you made, though, Joe. That's really good.
And this isn't a therapy session. I mean, this is not a you problem. I think it's a problem that all of us bring. And it was a problem that I had when I first started playing. It's like, I'd want to, you know, there's no online sites here in the state that I'm in. And so I would make a trip up to the casino, and it's a long drive to the casino. I'd want to have somebody to come with to talk about it and all these different things. And it was like, nope. Nobody really was that interested. It didn't work out for time. They'd look at the buy-ins and they'd be saying, you want me to bring how much money now? You know, and I run the risk of losing all of that. Well, that's, I don't know that I can convince my significant other, and I can't convince their significant other that that's important. Right? So I can't insert myself into that situation any more than any of the rest of us really can. And you'll just drive them away. And I think that you'll be better off by allowing him to play, maybe, again, sign him up for Rec Poker. Let him play in the free games so you can see how much fun and the game can be without him having to actually continually experience that loss of money every single time he goes.
Definitely.
And that's going to, and then if he comes around, he comes around. If he doesn't, it just wasn't meant to be, man, and we'll still be here for you.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, because I mean, we played, me and, it's funny because me and my, this buddy that I'm talking about, James, is we played a lot of heads up. Like, I'll just bring the chips and cards to his house and be like, hey, James, we're playing. Like, I don't care. Like, you're my best buddy. Like, you're playing with me. We're playing heads up, like, whatever. So we've done this for so long that to finally level up is, you know, it was really exciting at first, but now we're in like the kind of the downward end of it of like, where do we go now? And I found a live tournament group local to where I'm at. So for me, I want to play a live tournament because that's something that I've never done before. Like a real live tournament, like not just like a home game, like one that has like a significant buy-in and stuff. And I was trying to convince him, he was like, oh, I don't know. Like, that's not really my thing. And you know, I don't know about the last few times I went. So yeah, I mean, like you say, I think I get too wrapped up in my own head sometimes about it. So like you say, I think it's best to sometimes to let people have their own space and kind of figure stuff out on their own. And then like you say, if they come back, and then we can get them in the home game.
Yeah, because I think, and I should point out to our listeners, you know, we're all biased because we really like poker. And we also feel like poker is a skill game with an element of luck, and that it's different from pure gambling games. And like I firmly believe that, but the people on this podcast are going to believe that at a disproportionately high level compared to the general population. And I will point out, we'll put some links to some problem gambling resources in the show notes here. At the footer of every page of the Rec Poker website is a link to a page of resources for different ways that you can get support if you have a problem gambling, or if someone in your life has a problem gambling. And some players that are poker players have gambling problems. I think the kind of poker players who study, who listen to podcasts, who are looking for friends to engage with about poker, you know, that group has already kind of elevated themselves above the general population of poker players. But don't be fooled, folks. Most poker players are losing players. Most poker players lose money. Some very, very good poker players break even. And then the real cream of the crop, you know, that game select well and work at it, can actually make money playing poker. But there's no shame in being in not the top 5% of the competitors at this sport. So I do want to, Joe, why don't we talk to you a little more? And then I want to this has been a great conversation. I want to touch on a couple more things and then we'll probably wrap this up.
So So I think what I wanted to just add very quickly is that individuals who are experiencing psychological difficulties, depression, anxiety, and even more significant, although those can be significant on their own, don't see poker as a way out. There's a couple of weeks ago, there was somebody, actually, I don't know when it'll be when this comes out, but on one of the Discord servers, there was somebody that came in and really kind of expressed poker as somehow as a way out of a lot of miseries that this individual is experiencing at that time, and expressed some suicidal thoughts online at the time, which causes problems, right? I mean, there's nothing that I can do about it. I don't even know where this person is. But she really saw, or this individual really saw, poker as a way out or a way to develop friendships. And the problem is, it's a great game, but it's a game that really sucks. I mean, I think Tommy Angelo called it as the pain machine, right? I'm forgetting the language that he called it. And it's absolutely true. It's not, if you are not on a stable footing with regards to your psychological functioning, please, please, please don't play this game. It is not going to make you feel better. It will make you feel worse no matter what happens, and you'll get yourself into more trouble. So to Jim's point, I mean, if you're having trouble with the gambling, absolutely contact somebody. If you're feeling depressed or in a tough spot, don't see poker as the way out. It is never throwing you a lifeline. It's throwing you a life preserver, but it's not attached to anything. So,
yeah. And like Joe said earlier about being honest and sort of trust, there are ways to tell. Like if you find that you are lying to people in your life about your gambling, that's a sign that you might have a problem with gambling. If you find that you're gambling with money that you can't afford to gamble with, then I mean you're not making a responsible choice. And if there are people that are depending on you, then you know that's a red flag when it comes to gambling problems. So I really think it's important that you have a look at yourself and say, you know, what are my goals for poker? What do I get out of it? What do I put into it? Do I have a healthy relationship with this hobby? Because again, I'll go up and down the hill that it's not in the same class of hobbies as blackjack or baccarat or other, you know, actual games that you play in a casino. I do think there's a difference between poker and gambling, but we're on episode 500 of this podcast. We've talked about poker a lot. If you're listening to this, you know, you might not have put in the hours to think about how fine that distinction is, but there are some resources for you. I'll also say, you know, maybe the one thing, Lawrence, again, if your name is Lawrence, it would be to have your partner listen to this episode, like Ben was talking about, and see that there is a nuanced conversation to have on all these different sides of it and what are the different factors that people consider. And I'll also point out that, you know, everyone here on the panel that you've heard from tonight is available to our listeners in some capacity or another. We're all Wrecking Crew members. Joe runs a mental game focused study group on the third Thursday of every month. Taylor Moss is twitching his action. He's twitchy. He's streaming his action live on Twitch every Wednesday night. Ben's also on Twitch almost every Friday and Saturday, and a lot of Sundays as well. And so these guys are very available. If this is something you want to talk about, or if it's something that you want to bring up to people, this group here is right there. And you can always email me, jim@rec.poker. I'm pretty easy to find around here. So there's that as well. Is there anything else? The other thing I wanted to mention is, again, just this sense of knowing yourself, whether you are a winning player or not. There's only so many ways to know if you're a winning player. Are you keeping good records? Do you know what your bankroll or budget is? If it's just some sense you have in your mind that you're up lifetime, that is not a reliable metric for whether you're a winning player or not. If you play online, it can be really easy to have a program like Poker Tracker 4 that is objectively measuring your wins and losses and takes all the guesswork out of it. If you're not playing online, but if you're playing live, you have to do a lot more of the work. You have to keep track of your sessions. If you're a cash player, you have to keep track of your buy-ins and winnings. If you're a tournament player, this is good advice anyway, even if you're a recreational player, if you're winning or you're losing, We did an episode in August with Zach, the CPA, talking about tax ramifications from gambling winnings. And the one thing that really came out of it is that we should all really just be taking better notes about where we're playing and when and what we're up and what we're down, because it matters a lot to know that kind of thing. But, you know, people say that the only way to know if you're a winning player is to just put in a bunch of volume and see if you're up or down at the end of it. I really don't think that's true. But one way that you can find out is by joining a free group like Rec Poker and talking to the people in our group about poker. And you will find pretty quickly, oh, there's a couple people here that I'm kind of ahead of. There's a few people here that I'm behind when it comes to how well do I understand the game of poker. And that's a great way to kind of find out how good a poker player you are without having to spend thousands of hours and dollars in the variance machine that is live poker. So be honest with yourself. You're probably not as good as you think you are. You've probably been game selecting well, and maybe you've gotten lucky. And I'm sure some of you are excellent poker players as well. I mean, but it you get better a lot faster when you're talking to other people about poker. So that would be the one biggest piece of advice I could give you. And then, like I say, if you're not a winning player, and if you've got a poker budget, be proud of that, man. Like, just tell it. So it would be a problem if you had an entertainment budget of $200 a month and you wanted to spend $400 a month playing poker. That would be a problem. But it would be a problem if you had an entertainment budget of $200 and you wanted to spend $400 a month going bowling too. So your problem is that you don't have an entertainment budget that satisfies you. That I can't help you with, buddy. But if you have an entertainment budget, spend it on what you enjoy. And if for you that's poker, then spend it on poker. And listen, maybe you actually do make some money in you know, the first tournament of the month, and now your entertainment budget for that month got a little bigger. There's nothing wrong with that, but just know what your limits are and play within them, and don't create conflict with the people that love you in your life because they're, you know, because you're playing with money that isn't yours to play with. I think that's the biggest highlight we can take from here. Well, Taylor, Joe, Ben, is there anything that we should add for Lawrence? I hope his name's Lawrence as he listens to this. Doesn't sound like it. So then I really want to thank again, whoever you are, whose name I hope is Lawrence, for playing with us in the Rec Poker Cash Games. Running Aces, Hotel Racetrack, and Casino. What a fantastic time we had there. I hope our listeners found this helpful. And send me an email, jim@rec.poker, if there's someone in your life that you've had to have this conversation with. And let me know, how do we do? Maybe we'll include some tips next time around. Okay, thanks a lot, everybody. And have a great week. We'll see you next time.